All right, so this evening we are going to talk about, let me figure out how I'm going to do this up here. I've got my stuff. All right, this evening we're going to be talking about a structure to prayer. And this idea came to me earlier in the year. I was hoping to get to preach this on in January, but the weather happened and we had to cancel it. So that was two lessons within 3 months of each other that got canceled by the weather. So maybe the Lord didn't want me. I'm just joking. I don't think that's the case. But so this was supposed to happen at the beginning of this year, at the beginning of January, and that just did not happen. But the idea came because so many people are making New Year's resolutions. And when so many of these New Year's resolutions I kept hearing about when I was asking people what they were going to, what their resolution would be for the New Year's, one that kept coming back was, I want to pray more. Because I want to pray more. I want to talk to God more. And something I've noticed, and I don't mean this to be rude in any manner whatsoever, but as a leader, I've noticed you can ask people, men, to do things, and sometimes they are worried about leading a prayer because they don't know how to do one. How do I lead a prayer in public? And we talk with our teens, and they're learning how to pray right now. And I was just thinking, maybe one of the things that we start our year off with, our new year off with, is looking at a structure to prayer. I'm not going to be telling you what to pray. That's going to be between you and the Lord here. But there are at least 6 points that I can bring to you. And not all of this is original. I got some of this idea from John Wright. We do a Bible study every Thursday at Fred's Cafe, if you ever want to come have a Bible study with us. And these were actually, the structure actually kind of came from him, and then the points I pulled out in different ways. So got to give him a little credit there for that. Before we begin, let's just get right into it. We've got to ask ourselves, what is prayer? And it is a solemn request for help or expression of thanks, and it's addressed to God or an object of worship. The reason object of worship is in there is because the first commandment is what? Have no other gods before me. Yet there are people out there who believe in the flying spaghetti monster, and they pray to it. All right, I can pray to this pew, but it's not going to do anything for me. All right, so we need to make sure that our object of worship is in the place where it needs to be. And so remember then, in 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Prayer is something that we do if we want to communicate with the Father or God. And again, it's a request, an expression of thanks, and it is addressed directly to Him. If you wanted to get a hold of me, what would you do? You'd call me on the phone, right? If you want to get a hold of God, you talk to Him in prayer. True prayer is formal, something we do in our, so to speak, ceremony every Sunday when we all come together and we're wearing our best. And there are people who come up here and they pray, and a lot of people, they come up with it written, and they've been preparing this prayer all week. All right, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. If you feel like you need to write your prayer out, do it. All right, I think God wants us to be clear and concise about the things we ask from Him, so don't be afraid to write your prayer. But it's very formal. We can do it formal up here, just as Preston did for us. Weddings, right? Weddings are another place. You get married, there's usually somebody praying. Oh no, why'd she pick? No, I'm just joking. But they're usually praying because this is an oath, a covenant made before the Lord. Prayer is dignified, all right? I know if you're anything like me, we will be driving along in our car, and I'll be praying to the Lord. I'll be like, please, Lord, don't let this guy hit me. You know, there's all sorts of different things we do, but we have to remember when we pray to the Lord, He is an authority, and when we come to Him, it needs to be in a dignified manner, or having or showing a composed or serious manner that is worthy of respect. It's one thing for my kids to come to me, youth kids, whoever, come to me, joke around, right? It's okay. I'm only kind of an authority, if authority and youth minister even go together. But when you approach the Lord, it's important every time. So you need to be dignified in the manner in which you approach Him. And then finally, it's sincere. All right, the proceeding from genuine feelings. What I'm going to approach the Lord about, whether it's happy, whether it's sad, whatever is bothering me, if I'm going to contact Him, it's going to be true to myself. It's not a real prayer if someone tells you to pray it. Now, again, it's a different thing as you're training up your children, right? When we're sitting at the dinner table and we practice prayer and Fawn is going to pray or Birdie's going to pray or even Judah's getting to the point where he's like, thanks for my chicken nuggets, you know? That's kind of insincere a little bit because they're just children. They don't really know what's happening. But the sinner's prayer, I'm going to tell you to pray this thing and you will be saved. That's just not how it works, okay? It's got to come from sincerity. And again, we pray in our formal worship, right? We pray with our family and our friends, and we should be, and this is where the resolution has come in for so many people, be praying as individuals. And we pray for lots of different things, right? We pray for our needs, both physical and spiritual. You'll see some of these verses being reused later on. But in both physical and spiritual nature, those are things that we pray for. We pray for others' needs, right? We have the shepherds, there we go, that come up and they do the blue cards. And what's the whole point of our blue cards? Well, so people can put their issues on a paper and we can address it, talk about it publicly, and pray for it as a united body. We're all praying to the Lord, and hopefully we're all sincere in our minds about these things. And then to give God thanks for both physical and spiritual blessings, Colossians 4:2. All in all, that's not an exhaustive list, by the way, but the prayer is the tool for communication with God. Our communication with one another is a phone. It used to be attached to a wall, now it's in our pocket, right? Prayer is wireless, and it always has been, and it's wonderful. And so this gets us to our structure to prayer. How do we pray? I believe, again, this is 6 points. This is a structure. You can put it kind of how you want. But I think these are the 6 things we need to have in our minds when we are addressing the Lord. Matthew 6, 7 through 13. So please read with me. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then in the brackets, for yours is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. And those brackets just mean that it wasn't in some of the early manuscripts, but we do find them in later manuscripts. So we're going to include that in tonight's lesson. And so the first step that we need in the structure of prayer is recognition. Recognition is the acknowledgement of something's existence, validity, or legality. So who do we recognize when we pray? We touched on it a second ago, but we don't pray to the pew. We don't pray to the spaghetti monster. Sometimes we may pray in our minds so much in the sense that, oh, I don't want this to happen real quickly. But really, you and I, if we're trying to put a prayer together, if we're trying to communicate with the Lord, we have to recognize that He is the God of all creation. Revelations 4:1 will say, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." All right, we pray to the person who created, or the deity who created the world. They created you and me, as Marty pointed out, created and knows the number of hairs on your head. That is who I'm communicating with, the one who can fix the issues I'm bringing to them or receive the praise I'm trying to offer. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens," and this is the Lord speaking about himself, "who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited." This is what God says about himself. "I am the Lord and there is no other. Who am I praying to?" And then finally, David recognizes God in Psalm 103:13, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." I brought this one in because how does Jesus approach God? What's he call him? He calls him Father. So yes, God has created the world. God should be feared above all things, right? That's the beginning of knowledge. But can I go to him in my time of need? Can I approach him as I would approach my father, right? Can you approach him as you would approach your father in your time of distress or in your time of joy? That's how we are to approach him. So we recognize who he is as God, fearful creator, but we also recognize him as someone we can talk to. Someone who loves us very dearly. And that was, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." The second thing is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this second structure is priority. Where does Jesus put the priority in this section? Well, "You shall have no other gods before me," Exodus 23, right? "Therefore, do not be anxious," saying, this is Matthew 6, 31 through 33, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we fear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But do what first? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Number one, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I recognize who you are as eternal creator." Number two, "It's not about me, it's about your kingdom. It's about your kingdom in heaven and also what goes on here. Am I praying for his will to be done?" Luke 12:32-34 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's God, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also." So the second part of us figuring out how to pray is knowing what the priority is. We often go to God in our time of need, and that's the only time we talk to him. That should not be it, right? I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but have you ever said, "Well, the phone works both ways"? Have you ever said that? Right? Why do we say that? Because they only call me when they need me. They don't call to just talk to me and see what's going on. They don't call to check in. I was that guy, by the way. Did it for a long time. Still am really guilty about that. I really just hate phones. But it works both ways, right? The Lord would love to have a conversation with you. But I'm sure he wants to hear about the good things going on in your life too, or the glory you see in his creation. Do you thank him for that, right? This is part of our prayer life. So what's our priority? If we approach him and it's all about ourselves, then we've got the wrong priority. The priority should be about him and his kingdom and the furtherment of it. But we do get to talk about us a little bit, because the third thing we notice is, "Give us this day our daily bread." Provision is the action of providing or supplying something for use. What is it that is asked for? My basic needs today. That's all we need to live for, right? Later on we'll read about being anxious and not worrying necessarily about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Marty talked about that this morning, absolutely. But who provides those things for you? Pray for those things. Those are great things to pray for. James 1:5-8, he will say, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask for it, right? If I'm going to communicate with God and ask for it, well, that approaches prayer. So I can ask for wisdom, when I want to be provided for. Because wisdom will provide me with number three, ask for what is according to his will. If I have the wisdom and I know what God wants, and I ask for what is according to his will, I will receive those things. But whatever the case, whatever we ask for, whatever basic provision that we need, it always must be asked in faith. That is what it always says. And I didn't put any scripture references on there. I wish I would have. But ask in faith. That is something that is continually talked about. Do not doubt, as James chapter 1 will say, 5 through 8. Ask in faith and you will receive it. The fourth structure, the fourth part of this structure that I want us to look at is the mercy salvation aspect. And mercy and salvation are very similar definitions, so I just threw the one up there. But it's compassion for or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Basically saying, you don't get what you deserve. What you deserve is punishment, and you don't get it. Simple as that. That's salvation. Debt here literally means sin. If you get in your Greek dictionary, I thought it was really interesting. But sin is called a debt because sin demands a payment. It demands our death. But Jesus died in our place. Jesus is that payment. And so when I read, forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors, I read it a little different, and maybe this is wrong. Catch me afterwards. But pray to be forgiven in the same manner as we forgive others. Have I forgiven my brother for everything that they've done against me? If I haven't forgiven them fully, then when I ask for forgiveness, I might receive that same partial forgiveness. I don't know if that's true or not. But I want to make sure that I'm forgiving everyone so that I can receive the same type of forgiveness that I'm bestowing on people. I'm not saying that's a work. I'm not trying to get into the theology of it. It's just the way my mind works. It plants this idea that I can't ask to be completely forgiven if I'm not completely forgiving others. And so when I ask, when I confess my sins to the Lord, am I expecting to be forgiven the same way that I've forgiven others? I think that's a really important aspect of prayer. The fifth part structure is protection, right? Keep us safe from harm is what that means. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And James 1, 13 through 15 really puts this in a wonderful way. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. I have nothing against praying for protection in our country. Or if something happens down the road and someone escaped the penitentiary I want to pray for my family. God, please protect me. But really, what is Jesus getting to when he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? Is he talking about our guns? Is he talking about the crazy guy down the street? Or is he talking about us? He's talking about, let me pray to save myself from the desires that my flesh want to do, the thing that separates me from you. Please protect me from myself. It's kind of a crazy concept, but at the same time, it just makes so much sense. Because we're always praying for protection. We're praying for protection from the flu virus, right? And we should have no fear in death, but we are closing schools down because of a cough that I got my whole life in school, right? Are we recognizing God in those moments, who he truly is? No, protect us from ourselves. Protect us from the spiritual aspect of what sin does to you and me. And the Lord. And the final thing is we end, and this is where the brackets come in for your New American Standard or your Legacy Standard, is for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It starts with recognition, and it ends with praise and recognition, or the express warm approval or adoration of whom? We'll revert to slide one. Who am I praising? Who do I adore? Well, it's God, the creator of everything, the eternal being who controls whether my soul goes to heaven or hell. And because I'm in him, I have received that mercy and that salvation. I end my prayer with thank you, Lord. Not begging, right? I've been saved. But understanding what truly has happened to my soul. Thank you, Lord, so much. Some verses here. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is what? This particular sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Marty talked about that, I think it was 2 weeks ago, in his lesson, about if we're truly saved and we're truly convicted, are we talking about Jesus? Are we offering that hope? Well, that's one of the ways that we praise him, not necessarily in our prayer life, so to speak. But, you know, we could maybe pray that the Lord gives us courage to talk to people about him. I don't know. Hebrews 13:15, that is. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. And we do these things described in Psalm because, revert back to slide one, Revelation 4:11, because worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power for all things you created, and by your will they existed and were created. And so I know this is not how to pray, so to speak, in the sense of let's sit down and let's figure it out and give you a prayer that you can take with you every single day and pray and it's going to work. But what this is hopefully a structure for you to take home and ponder the things you want to talk to God about. Because it is important how we talk to God. It is important that we talk to God often. It is important that we're staying in communication and we're teaching our children how to properly talk to God. And because I'd heard and just seen so many instances, I thought it would be a helpful tool for you. And so, as we close out, there's a structure to prayer, and there's six things that we've pulled out tonight that I hope will help you in setting up your future prayer life with the Lord. And it's recognizing who he is as God the Father. When I say God, all created being, be fearful of him, right? But also approach him as a father. Recognize who he is. Priority. Every time we talk to him, it shouldn't just be about what I need. It's about what he needs. It's the furtherment of his kingdom. He'll provide for me after that. Provision. Don't be afraid to give him, to ask him for the simple, basic things you need in your life. He will provide those to you. However, it's great to recognize that he is the one that those things come from. Fourth, mercy, salvation. Pray to him as if you've been forgiven. Approach him and confess your sins. He is faithful to forgive, right? So understand the salvation that you have and talk to him about it. And don't. And also, flip side of that, forgive others fully. Forgive others fully. Forgive the way you want to be forgiven. Do you want God to forgive you halfway or full way? Forgive others fully. Fifth, protection. And not just general well-being, physical protection. Ask for protection from yourself, from your fleshly desires. And five, when you end your prayer, be thankful. Recognize who it is who you can talk to and who you have laid your concerns and your praises at the feet of. The only divine being in the whole universe that can actually do something about it. And so as we close tonight, I know this lesson doesn't necessarily offer an invitation as far as a baptism, but if you'd like to know how to talk to God better, or you'd like a better relationship with him, you can come to the leadership here. But I really honestly think that if you just sit down and try, you could write it out if you want to. I have to write things out. If you just try to communicate with God, if you seek him, you will be found. So I can't give you a connection with the Lord. That's not what this lesson's about. I don't have some secret that says, hey, this is how you can get to God. The secret is not a secret. The mystery's been revealed. It's prayer. So practice it. Try it. You won't regret it, because a conversation with the Lord is the best conversation you'll ever have. If you have any desires tonight, any needs, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.